Greetings. My name is Naveen Pereira. I'm a professor of medicine at Mayo Clinic in Rochester. During today's recording, we'll be discussing ICDs and the important role that they play in congestive heart failure, specifically non-ischemic cardiomyopathy. I'm joined today, and it's a privilege and pleasure to have my colleagues, Dr. Paul Friedman and Dr. Abhishek Deshmukh, who are electrophysiologists and are well-reputed in this area. So welcome, Paul, Abhishek.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
So we know that ICDs play a really important role in reducing mortality in congestive heart failure. As we all know, patients with congestive heart failure either die from progressive heart failure or sudden cardiac death. And so ICDs have kind of preempted the sudden cardiac death issue. Initially, ICDs were shown to improve survival in patients who survived the initial episode of sudden cardiac death. I think those were the earliest studies historically, and correct me if I'm wrong. And then subsequently, people went a step further to see, can we put ICDs in patients to prevent that first episode of sudden cardiac death? Is that how the history unfolds, essentially?
That's exactly right. And what's striking is if you look at the mortality reduction between the two groups, it actually was higher in patients who had not yet had an event. Because in order to get into those early trials, the first MADIT study, the MUST study, patients had more ventricular dysfunction. Right. And the key point that came from those early trials was that defibrillators can extend life in people who are at high risk for events, and it's the degree of structural abnormality that leads to the arrhythmic events and premature death.
Right. So then we have this really interesting study called the Danish trial. Can you put it in the context of all the available literature? Why now? Why another ICD trial now when it's been pretty well established in the community that ICDs reduce mortality?
That's a great question. So if you look at the history of the trials performed for ICDs, particularly in non-ischemic cardiomyopathy, it started off with CAT trial and AMI Award back in late 1990s. And then we had Scud Heft looking at it in a way as a subgroup to look at how patients did with non-ischemic cardiomyopathy, and then definite trial.
And Scud Heft, really, the subgroup analysis showed that patients with non-ischemic heart failure did not survive greater than patients with ICDs, with or without ICDs. Is that right?
With or without ICD, but Scud Heft did show that it does reduce sudden cardiac death in patients with ICDs, in patients with non-ischemic cardiomyopathy.
Okay.
And that did lead to the recommendation as far as our scientific societies are concerned. However, over a period of time, our medical management has dramatically improved. There has been more force towards the cardiac resynchronization therapy. So this was probably a good time to reassess to see how ICDs on top of the medical management and CRTs, if they have more of an incremental benefit compared to, say, no ICD. So that probably was the background under which this trial was conducted. And again, this trial was started in late 2000s. So, you know, it took a while for them to enroll and present the data. So although the data is contemporary, it is still very important for us to know how do ICDs work in patients with non-ischemic cardiomyopathy. And it does have implications over a period of time as far as costs are concerned and quality of life is concerned, particularly in societies where ICDs are not that readily available.
Right. And then in that mix of improved medical therapy, we have, for example, the Entresto trial in heart failure with reduced ejection fraction that showed a rather dramatic relative risk reduction in mortality in heart failure patients. And I believe less than 20% of those patients had ICDs. So it does reflect that the fact that medical therapy is advanced. And so in the context of modern medical therapy, we needed to do, I guess, another ICD trial. And then can you comment, Paul, a little bit about the cardiac resynchronization therapy part?
Sure.
How does that affect patients with non-ischemic cardiomyopathy?
Yeah, no. So the real difference in the study is that roughly 60% of patients in both arms had CRT devices. So this is not a study of medical therapy versus medical therapy and device, as most of the previous studies had been. This one is best heart failure therapy, best drugs, add CRT to that, and then does a defibrillator help? And, you know, I think some of the key take-home messages are medical therapy is powerful and important. And, you know, our current guidelines indicate patients need to be on good medical therapy before consideration for an ICD. And this reinforces that finding. The second thing I think it does is it highlights the role of resynchronization. Because, one of the reasons the difference may be blunted was, in fact, that patients did receive CRT. It also highlights another, you know, and importantly in this trial, patients were getting good medical therapy, 100% essentially on beta blockers and ACE or ARBs. So medical therapy was robust and over half on mineralocorticoid therapy. And I think that plays an important factor and reminds us that it's critical that we have patients on good medical therapy before we offer device therapy. The other thing it highlights is that a third of patients with heart failure die of non-cardiovascular causes.
Right.
And that really gets to a point that no device can protect against those kinds of things, unfortunately, as we know. And that may tie into which device for which patient and age may be a factor here.
So, Abhishek, can you, just for the audience, briefly summarize the design of the trial?
So, Danish study was a randomized controlled trial where they enrolled about close to 1,150 patients and divided them into two groups, one which got an ICD on top of optimal medical management and CRT whenever indicated, and versus one group who did not get an ICD but did get a CRT pacemaker if indicated, and then they randomized and then they followed it up over about a mean follow-up of 67 months. And what they noted, and their primary endpoint was all-cause mortality, and there was essentially no difference in all-cause mortality among the two groups, meaning they could die of anything, but there was no difference in those two groups. Interestingly, they did note that patients who had an ICD, the chances of dying by sudden cardiac death was about 50% less than patients who did not have an ICD. And that's what ICDs would typically do, is to prevent sudden death. And that was an important secondary endpoint which was met. And they had some pre-specified subgroup analysis, and what they showed that patients younger than 68 years of age tend to have mortality benefit from an ICD compared to certain older patients. So this was the basic framework of the study, and they had a good follow-up, and we look forward to more extended follow-up down the line.
It's kind of interesting when you look at the survival curve of the whole population, that at 2 years, you start to see a separation. ICD is beneficial. Mm-hmm. But then as you keep following patients out to 6 years, that separation starts to come back together. And so it may be that the patients who were older were starting to have mortality related to other causes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think in my mind, one of the take-home messages is that it may make sense in the older, frailer patient that CRT may be the device of choice if it's indicated, that there may be benefit there, but it may be more appropriate to use the more aggressive ICD therapy in younger patients with the non-ischemic cardiomyopathy.
So what was the average age of the patients in this trial?
So the average, there was a median, and the average age was between 65 to 73 years of age, but not very old.
Right, right. So that's interesting. So you have a trial in the modern era of heart failure therapy, great medical therapy, great mechanical therapy, almost 60% at CRT, no difference in terms of total mortality, but reduction in sudden cardiac death. How did they define sudden cardiac death? How do you define sudden cardiac death in patients with an ICD and without an ICD? I thought that was a little confusing.
So sudden death, the way they described it, is someone who died suddenly. So they do make a disclaimer that they can even die of sudden vascular death,
right,
but it's hard to know how they died suddenly.
Right.
So whoever died suddenly was called as sudden death.
Right, and there was no obvious secondary cause.
There's no obvious secondary cause.
Right. So, but those with an ICD had sudden death too?
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting that ICDs don't prevent all sudden deaths.
Right.
Because as people get sicker and if they have other metabolic issues going on, refractory acidosis, hyperkalemia, ICDs can function maybe a little bit limited over a period of time. And also it depends on programming. If the device has not been programmed optimally, there is obviously a chance of proarrhythmia also with ICD, which can be potentially detrimental.
So it can be pulseless electrical activity. It can be non-cardiac pulmonary embolism, which may look the same way. Those are the sorts of things that lead to someone dying suddenly or someone was well the last time they were seen and they were found dead and they have an ICD. And the ICD may not have stored an episode if there wasn't a tachycardia that would trigger storage of the event.
That's interesting. So have people in this or in previous trials, have they interrogated the devices when people die suddenly? And
that has been done. And the cause of death in patients with heart failure, as you noted, it depends in part on the stage of congestive heart failure. Mm-hmm. And in the patients with the heart failure is less severe, New York Heart Association class 2 or class 3, they're more likely to have tachyarrhythmias that lead to recurrent shocks, VT storm, those mm-hmm. kinds of things. Patients with more severe heart failure are more likely to have PEA, bradyarrhythmic, or just systolic failure type heart deaths.
If we have to advise a patient today, and say a 70-year-old patient walks into our office and he has non-ischemic cardiomyopathy, how would you initiate a discussion?
Sure. I think a couple of points are worth making. First, the trial highlights the importance of good medical therapy. Second, we rarely change practice strictly on the basis of one randomized controlled trial. Thirdly, since the trial was completed, there have been meta-analyses performed that have include obviously greater numbers of patients and have demonstrated a benefit in non-ischemic cardiomyopathy of ICD in addition to other therapies. So I think we have to be careful before we take the results of this one trial and tell a patient you don't need an ICD. On the flip side, I think it is useful information. And so for someone who has a number of other comorbidities where more aggressive ICD, and remember, 5% of patients had an inappropriate shock. Mm-hmm. And so there is something to be said for a device which cannot give you a painful shock but can extend your life, mm-hmm. CRTP, for people who are appropriate. Mm-hmm. And so I think it highlights the thoughtful consideration of that on a person-by-person basis. But I don't believe the evidence is strong enough to suggest that we should say ICD is no longer warranted in non-ischemic cardiomyopathy.
Should we be considering CRTP first? Because we see, especially in patients with non-ischemic cardiomyopathy, ejection fractions, for example, improve, right? So say a patient comes in, maximal medical therapy, do the CRTP, and that patient is a prime candidate for resynchronization therapy. Ejection fraction was 25%, now becomes 50%.
Right.
So it's an interesting dilemma. I mean, CRTP? Because now he's not eligible for an ICD because his ejection fraction
improved. There have been studies which have looked at it, particularly companion trial, which looked at medical management versus CRT pacemaker versus CRT defibrillator. And interestingly, CRT pacemaker and CRT defibrillator, there was no difference in outcomes. So I guess CRT...
In non-ischemic cardiomyopathy.
In cardiomyopathy, So again, it's helpful that CRT pacemaker could be a potential way to go in patients who may not want an ICD, especially in certain areas where cost considerations are also there with an ICD, which can be there in a lot of societies.
I think in the younger patient, I would still offer a CRT defibrillator device.
Okay.
I think in the patient who's older, who has comorbidities, who really does not want the risk of an inappropriate shock, which isn't huge, but it was 5-6% over
right.
the course of the study,
right.
Then CRTP is a very attractive option.
Right.
And certainly in non-ischemic cardiomyopathy, the incremental benefit of defibrillation above what the CRT is offering is more modest. And it's important to emphasize we really are talking about non-ischemic cardiomyopathy. In ischemic heart disease where you have a fixed scar, modus for reentry, the benefit of defibrillation is far greater.
So what's that take home from this trial? Do we basically say, well, you know, medical therapy is great, CRT CRT can help these patients. Are we going to change our practice? Are the guidelines going to change, Paul, Abhishek?
I'm not sure if the guidelines will change right away, but it emphasizes, as Dr. Friedman mentioned, about CRT, about medical management, and an ICD. Now, it's good to know that not everybody is going to die is not going to have a cardiovascular death. So, again, that should be discussed with the patient to see when some people may prefer dying suddenly without having an ICD. So, you know, those realistic expectations should be discussed with the patients. But I think going forward from here, for as far as future investigations are concerned, I think we need to probably come up with a better marker to assess who is going to really need an ICD beyond an ejection fraction, beyond ECG, maybe MRI and delayed enhancement, and some of those work is currently under progress.
Okay. So we need to figure out how to risk stratify these patients better.
It's always been an issue. Predictions about the future are challenging, and yet we have to make decisions based on our best available evidence. And so to get to your question of, well, what do we do right now?
Yeah.
Non-ischemic cardiomyopathy patient, if they meet, first of all, number one, optimize medications. Mm-hmm. They're powerful. The data show that they're very impactful, so they need to be on best medical therapy. We can't shortcut that. Number two, mm-hmm. For the younger patient in particular, and under 68, under 70, I would still offer CRTD based mm-hmm. on meta-analysis and the findings from Danish itself. And for the patients who are older, have more comorbidities, I think a individualized, informed discussion saying mm-hmm. the additional benefit of the ICD component is less robust, and proceed on that basis.
I think that's a great summary and conclusion. Paul, Abhishek, thank you so much. This has been certainly very informative, and I appreciate you all taking the time to do this. Thank you for joining us on theheart.org on Medscape.